What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco. It's not something we like to think about. I've actually had bad dreams about this. You're out in the middle of the water, and it's over your head, and you're going down. You're drowning, and you know what that means. That means death. And in Scripture, it is often a picture of water as a place of danger and a place of potential death. Does that have anything to say about baptism? Joining us to talk about baptism, death, and resurrection, Pastor Greg Alms. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Unsafe Sacrament. Greg, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
You need to explain that, unsafe sacrament. We don't want to make people think that there is harm being done here, but Scripture does talk about it in terms of death and resurrection. How do we sort that out?
Well, I didn't write the title for the article, first of all, but it certainly gets to the sort of the tension or the contrast in the article itself, and that is that water and indeed baptism is presented to us in the pages of Scripture as a place where death occurs, where it's unsafe to our. We could cut right down to the doctrinal issue, but it's unsafe to our old Adam. It's unsafe for our sinful life that we live. And so, the quick thing about unsafe sacrament is, in baptism we die a death. We die a death to our old self. And in the Scripture, there's lots of images of water and drowning and being put to death that all sort of associate together and kind of group themselves around baptism.
Why is baptism described? Catawba is out there, and you were right on the very edge of one of the biggest lakes in North Carolina, Lake
right.
Norman. And I'm sure that every time you hear a story about a drowning out there or some kind of boating accident, that's not good news. How is it that baptism and its death is good news?
Well, I think it's connected with the death and burial of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we're baptized, we are baptized into Christ, but first of all, we're baptized into his death. So a drowning, a death, is good news in spiritual terms, theological terms, scriptural terms, because we are connected to Christ, and so our sins, our old self, our old life, the death that lives in us, is put to death through baptism by being connected to that death and burial of Christ, so that we go under and die to sin as Christ died, and that is buried and done away with by the work of Christ, and we rise up again as Christ did in his resurrection.
Talk about some examples from Scripture where water is both death and even judgment, divine judgment.
Well, in the Psalms, certainly, as the article starts out, essentially a list of literary poetic images in which death itself is pictured as water, when one dies, one goes down under the water, that we sink into the deep mire, into the pit, and we're unable to come up. Certainly, there's many instances in the Psalms of death being pictured as a drowning or as a going down, and water as judgment is certainly a big theme in the Old Testament as well as the New. Certainly the one that should come to mind for everyone is the flood, where God uses water to judge the earth, to condemn the earth, and indeed to flood the earth and put to death the wicked people who had multiplied over the face of the earth. Same thing happens in the flight from Egypt, the Exodus, where water, again, this time in the Red Sea, is used as God's judgment of the Egyptians and his gaining a victory for his people by drowning the Egyptians and all their hosts. So, you know, those are just off the top of top of the head. Jonah certainly is also an example of death and judgment, not death, but you know, using water as judgment and drowning.
With only about a minute here, can we be so bold to say that these Old Testament examples that you have laid out for us here so briefly are pointing us ahead in some sense to the being baptized into the death of Christ himself? About a minute here.
Sure. I mean, I think in a general way, they do point forward to our being and participating in Christ. I think they point forward to Christ and his death. I think his death is his own baptism and it is his resurrection, and there's some connections there, and ultimately to ours. Luther's flood prayer does the same thing.
We'll talk about Luther's flood prayer when we come back. Pastor Greg Alms is our guest. We're talking about baptism, death, and resurrection on this Wednesday afternoon, August 29th.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important, he would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's Word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's Word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Another 10 minutes here with Pastor Greg Alms talking about baptism, death, and resurrection. He's authored an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled Unsafe Sacrament. Greg, you mentioned before Luther's flood prayer. It's been reincorporated into the rite of baptism for our brand of Lutheranism, beginning, according to your strict judgment, O Almighty and Eternal God, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Why was Luther so bold as to make the connection between the narrative of the biblical flood and the sacrament of baptism?
Well, certainly Scripture. I mean, Peter, in his epistle, makes the same connection. So, I mean, when he issues those great words, "Baptism now saves you," he's in the midst of a discussion of Noah and the flood. So, I think there's a scriptural connection there, and the whole picture of the experience of God condemning the world through the flood, through those angry waters, and yet saving Noah and his family in the midst, drawing them out of that water, just simply corresponds to the whole biblical teaching of what baptism is, the washing away of sin, the death of sin, and the drawing out of that new person in the water. So it's just a perfect picture of what baptism is and what baptism does.
We think about the scope of the flood, obviously universal, and we think about it as kind of the penultimate act of judgment on God's part, the greatest act of judgment recorded in Scripture. But should we say that baptism for the individual undergoing this sacrament is an even greater judgment than the physical flood that destroyed the earth?
Yes, in that it's an eternal judgment. I mean, and I just missed your question. Ask me again, that Todd, because I just went out of my head.
Well, we think about the flood being such a big judgment. Is baptism a greater judgment than even the flood that destroyed the earth?
Right. It involves a greater judgment. I mean, it involves an eternal spiritual judgment of our sin, and that's part of the point of the article is that in baptism we are judged and condemned for sin, and that's the terrifying part of going under the water, being marked as a sinner. Baptism involves going down under that water, being marked by that flood, and yet as a sinner then being in that water, under that water, with Christ, and there in that water becomes a saving water because Christ is the ultimate sinner and takes our place, draws us out of the water. So yes, it is a worse judgment. It's an eternal spiritual judgment and condemnation of sin. And at the same time, as it works, that same judgment becomes saving water in that. Christ is there to grant us salvation, to bring us out through his own resurrection.
What would you say to someone, and many do believe this, because they read Paul's words about being united with him in a death like his, united with him in a resurrection like his, when talking about baptism, they say, yeah, it symbolizes death. It symbolizes resurrection. How would you respond?
Well, I would respond in the same way Lutherans respond in a discussion on the sacrament. I mean, and that is that as you read Paul's words, I mean, there's simply no indication that he's talking symbolically. I mean, that's just sort of a linguistic argument. And Paul speaks sacramentally. He speaks realistically. And this way of speaking that in and through baptism, we are united with Christ, united with his death, grant salvation through his cross and his resurrection, is simply the biblical way of God working through sacraments. It matches the whole scriptural way in which God deals with his people, old and new, and it just fits perfectly. It fits in the way Romans 6 is written, in all of St. Paul, and indeed all of Scripture.
And it's not just a one-time thing. You write this, I'd like you to explain. Christian life is nothing other than a daily encounter with the waters of baptismal death, which are also the waters of repentance and resurrection and rebirth. What do you mean by that?
Well, when Luther talks about Romans 6 in the Catechism, he speaks primarily of Romans 6 in reference to our daily life, meaning that every day we are still grappling with that old Adam. What's the old saying? You know, we drown the old Adam, but he knows how to swim. So every day we return to our baptism. Every day we confess our sin. Every day we come face to face with that mirror that shows us who we really are. And every day we go back to baptism and say, you know, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner. And we cling to the cross and say, Christ has died for me. And, Lord, I am baptized, so here I am under the cross. Lift me up to new life again today. Forgive my sins and bring me that new life. Grant me that faith that brings forth this new life today through Christ's resurrection. So baptism is a daily washing, a daily drowning of our old self, a daily waking up in the newness of Christ's life in us and with us.
This is, I think, where a lot of people get confused when it comes to the daily struggle of baptism, the repentance that Luther describes there. Is it our effort, our determination to repent that returns us to baptism, or is it baptism itself, the power of baptism itself and God's word therein, that returns us to repentance.
It's surely the second. In other words, that baptism is an ongoing. We live our baptism, meaning not that we manufacture these repentance or returning to our baptism, but we live our baptism, meaning that our baptism is now by the Holy Spirit is a lifelong reality in us, which is another way of saying that faith, I mean, is this living thing within us that through the power of God's Word and His Spirit continually puts us to death. God mortifies our flesh, lays tribulations upon us, preaches the law to us, which is a return to our baptism. That's drowning in the water, an awareness of our sin, and a judgment of God. And our baptism works that new life and that faith, which says, yes, I am a sinner, but I am forgiven by Christ, and I am free and new, and in Him I will do all good works and serve my neighbor. So it's baptism, that word, and that reality of faith that is born in us in baptism, that is continually impelling us, working in us, and renewing our baptism and renewing our faith day to day through repentance and forgiveness, faith.
Speaking of the baptism itself, you know as well as I do that it doesn't look like the big deal that you're describing here. In a lot of cases, it just looks like a handful of water over a baby's head, even when it is done by a different mode where there's immersion there. It's just a few seconds underwater, and after all, Pastor Alms, it's just ordinary water. They just drew that from the tap. What would you say?
Well, first of all, I'd say amen. It is ordinary water, and it is just a handful of water. But God has attached to that water His tremendous word, His incredible promise, and it's, of course, the word which, working through the water, does the amazing part, and they are invisible to our eyes. And again, this is God's sacramental way of working, and we can certainly go back to the cross, and where to the human eye, death of a human being on the cross in agony alone doesn't look like anything, but it is God's salvation, God Himself there on the cross working out our salvation in the same way in baptism. It looks like nothing to human eye. Would pass over it in a second, and we often do. But God's Word says what it is, and it's God's Word that's doing all of these things that are indicated in Scripture, death and rebirth, forgiveness and new life. And to the eye of faith, it is there, but it is invisible to our physical eyes.
Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone magazine titled Unsafe Sacrament. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Quite all right. I enjoyed it as always. Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study Mark chapter 7, beginning at the 14th verse where Jesus is answering His own question, what defiles a man? Pastor Charlie Henriksen will be our guest, along with our pastor's roundtable. Also tomorrow, we'll talk with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell about Todd Akin, the Democratic Party, and abortion. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Doesn't look like much, but St. Paul says all of us who've been baptized into Christ, and he's not talking about some sort of symbolic thing, he's talking about actually being baptized into Christ Himself, the real, present, crucified, and risen Christ. Paul says all of us who've been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. That's salvation language there. To be clothed with Christ means to be covered over, our sins covered by His perfect righteousness. That means Paul is saying in no uncertain terms that to be baptized into Christ is to be saved. It's to be saved eternally. It's to be buried with Christ and to be raised with Him. It's to be given eternal life here and now. Well, and Peter concurs. He says, baptism now saves you. He says in a lot fewer words what St. Paul spends a lot more time describing as being buried into Christ's death. That's not a pleasant experience, but Christ's death was the death he died for us. And to be united, as St. Paul says, with him in a death like his means of necessity, because he's been raised from the dead, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. In fact, in his own resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.